Welcome to the Filmtrepreneur Podcast, episode number 32.
No one can stop you from doing exactly what you want to do. If you can accept that the Calvary won't come, and if you can be the Calvary, it gives you a chance to be happy. Mark Duplass.
This is the Filmtrepreneur Podcast, where we teach you the top strategies, tactics, and growth hacks that every indie filmmaker needs to know to make money with their films. We are the podcast that puts the business back into show business. And here's your host, Alex Ferrari.
Welcome to another episode of the Filmtrepreneur Podcast. I am your humble host, Alex Ferrari. Today's show is sponsored by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, how to turn your independent film into a profitable business. It's harder today than ever before for independent filmmakers to make money with their films, from predatory film distributors ripping them off to huckster film aggregators who prey upon them. The odds are stacked against the indie filmmaker. The old distribution model of making money with your film is broken, and there needs to be a change. The future of independent filmmaking is the entrepreneurial filmmaker or the filmtrepreneur. In Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, I break down how to actually make money with your film projects and show you how to turn your indie film into a profitable business. With case studies examining successes and failures, this book shows you the step-by-step method to turn your passion into a profitable career. If you're making a feature film, series, or any other kind of video content, the Filmtrepreneur method will set you up for success.
The book is available in paperback, ebook, and of course, audiobook. If you want to order it, just head over to www.filmbizbook.com. That's film, B-I-Z, book.com.
Today's show is also sponsored by the Make Your Movie Bootcamp. You want to make a feature film but have no idea where to begin. I feel you because that's exactly where I was when I first got started, but I finally decided to stop talking about making a movie and go out and just do it. After working in the business for over 25 years and working with some of the biggest clients and stars in Hollywood, I decided to finally make my first micro-budget feature film that was self-distributed, sold around the world, and I even got a streaming deal from Hulu. It took me years of hard work to learn from my mistakes and to get where I am today. I want to help filmmakers break through their own fears and show them the secret sauce on how to make a profitable film. The Make Your Movie Bootcamp is a two-day intensive covering on day one, micro-budget filmmaking, and on day two, the Filmtrepreneur method, where you learn how to create revenue from your feature films. We cover everything from fleshing out your idea, the screenwriting process, finding money, crowdfunding, directing your film, post-production workflows, marketing, film deliverables, self-distribution secrets, and how not to get ripped off by predatory film distributors. The bootcamp takes place March 28th and 29th in Burbank, California, and spaces are limited, so act now. Head over to mymbootcamp.com. That's mymbootcamp.com.
So guys, today's show is all about giving you freedom to make your feature film. And this is one of the most freeing experiences that I ever had while I was making This Is Meg, is being able to move so quickly through the creative process from idea to scriptment to shooting it, editing it, finalizing it. And we did it all within, I think, about 4 months, literally from the idea all the way to the final edit and color and export. And it was such a freeing, amazing experience that I wanted to share with you guys what exactly it was. And hopefully you guys can do something similar for your first few films. Now, what is a scriptment? Scriptment is basically a full script minus all of the dialogue. It takes away a lot of the exterior, the interior kind of slug lines, and reads like a very cool short story. Now, I'm not the first to think about scriptments by any stretch. Mark Duplass has been doing it basically his entire career as well. I mean, someone like James Cameron and Quentin Tarantino, they love writing scriptments prior to writing their screenplays. But what Mark does is he actually writes the scriptment, and that is what he uses to make his movies. So what he likes to do, and I'll tell you from what I heard about what Mark does and to also what I did, was you reverse engineer your story based around things you have around you. Robert Rodriguez did this. So did Kevin Smith. These guys, this is not a new concept. I think it needs to be, a lot of people need to be reminded of what this very powerful thing is, for especially for first-time filmmakers, for people just starting out, people who just want to make a feature film, and not get caught up in the the drama, if you will, of writing a screenplay at the very beginning of their career. You know, I've written screenplays before. They're very taxing. they're rough. You know, as any writer will tell you, they're rough. They can be extremely rough to deal with. But I didn't want the writing and the formatting and all this kind of stuff to kind of get in my way of telling the story that I wanted to tell with Jill on This Is Meg. So we decided, hey, let's just do this kind of like The League, the FX show The League did, or Reno 911, or Curb Your Enthusiasm. All these guys have very loose scripts. So they would just start with an idea and structure it out very well. And that's the misnomer. That's the kind of myth about scriptments or about these non-scripted feature films or television shows, is they are scripted, but they're just scripted in a different format than you're normally used to. So let's say that you were going to do, I'll use Meg as an example. What I did was me and Jill sat down and we were like, okay, what do we have access to? Okay, we have my office, my back office, your house, this other house, this other location. And we'll go up to the Hollywood sign and do a location shot there, and we'll grab some stuff on the street and like, okay, boom, boom, boom. And once we knew all of our locations and all the things we had access to, we started writing around that idea and started, you know, building everything around what resources we had at our disposal. And by doing that, we were able to construct a screenplay or a scriptment fairly quickly. Jill did a lot of heavy lifting and came up with the story. I gave her my notes and like, hey, no, you know what? We have this location. Let's try to change it over here. And, you know, gave her some guidance in regards to the production aspects of things and what we had access to. But, you know, she came up with this scriptment that was at the end almost like 45 pages. So it wasn't like, you know, we just threw a 3 or 4 page outline together and ran. It was a pretty detailed scriptment. And there were scenes that were fully scripted out. And there were other scenes that were very loosely scripted out, you know. So once the movie gets released, I can talk a little bit more about specific scenes in the movie. And you guys, and inside the Indie Film Syndicate, I'm going to be going over this in detail in the coming weeks and months on how exactly we did this. So by doing this, guys, we were able to get this movie done so, so quickly. And, you know, a lot of people who work with Mark Duplass, you know, especially screenwriters, they just are in awe of how quickly they're able to put stuff together. Like, he'll come up with an idea and 6 months later, they're done. Like, literally done 6 months later, because he keeps the budgets very low. And that's the other thing, too. You keep the budgets very low. You use what you've got. It's a collaborative art. You need a lot of help from a lot of different people to make something like this happen, but it's extremely doable. And you write around what you have. And it's not that difficult to do, honestly. You have to use proper structure. You have to get your storyline and everything organized properly. Have your your points, your hero's journey, or whatever kind of story you want to tell. If it's a 3-act story, if it's a 4-act or 6-act story, or a 2-act story, you can do so. But just organize it out. And then when you get on the set, this is what happens. When you get on the set, you've already hopefully talked with your actors prior to getting on the set. When you do that, when you get on the set, you could start riffing. And you go, okay, guys, this is what this scene's really about. We need to hit this plot point, and this plot point. And we have to hit these marks. How you get to those marks is completely up to you. But we need to hit these marks in order for the story to continue to move forward. And when you allow actors to really feel free to do so, the magic that comes out is pretty remarkable. Now, again, you have to hire the right actors who are really kind of versed in improv and are comfortable doing this. But you'll be surprised at a lot of actors who are able to do this. And also, you know, when you're casting actors, this is on a side note, when you're casting actors, try to cast people who are very close to the role that they're going to play, so that it's not a complete stretch for them to do. I mean, look, Daniel Day-Lewis is Daniel Day-Lewis. Robert De Niro is Robert De Niro. And, you know, all these guys, you know, Meryl Streep's Meryl Streep. But generally speaking, if you as a director or as a filmmaker can cast someone who's close to the character that you are trying to have them portray, it's going to make things a lot easier, because at the end of the day, you don't want them to act. You want them to be. You want honesty out of those performances. And if they can be themselves and just come up with lines or read lines that you've written for them, all the better. And that's how fast, that's how we were able to do what we did on This Is Meg so fast, is we, you know, Jill actually wrote the screenplay or wrote the scriptment around her friends. And she talked to her friends before she wrote the scenes. And she knows, like, I know this person and I'm going to write the scene based on her or based on him, on their characters, on their people. And then, you know, like, I know I can get this performance out of Carlos or Deborah or Joe or Krista. And that's how we wrote the scenes out. And we kind of found things on the day. And it's so freeing. It's so exciting and so fun because you really don't know what's going to happen as a director, as a filmmaker. And a lot of times I was just there trying to capture the lightning in the bottle. That was my job, was there to just capture the lightning that was coming off in front of that lens. It's my job to capture it and then to mold it when I get into the editing room. But that is the power of a scriptment. And it's something that I think a lot of filmmakers, you know, the screenplay, at least for me, was always this big monstrous thing that had to be perfect and had to be read perfectly. And, you know, if the formatting wasn't right or the way you said things wasn't right or this or that, it just created so many obstacles from actually going out and making your movie that I think that this scriptment is a way to loosen those shackles, if not shake those shackles completely off, where you could, in theory, grab $1,000 and go make a movie. You know, grab a camera, grab some lights, maybe, even lights, maybe no lights, grab some audio, get some friends together, make a movie. This is what Mark Duplass did. This is what Joe Swansburg did. This is what Lynn Shelton did. You know, these guys all did that and they kind of just ran with it. And they made some really fun, heartfelt movies by doing so. And I don't think it's something that you guys can't do yourselves. Now, it also depends on the kind of story you're trying to tell, guys. If you're trying to tell a story that's super action packed, big thing, you know, big action sequences and all that kind of stuff, this process might not work for you. This process will work, you know, though I'm interested to one day try this formula on an action movie or on a horror movie. I'm really curious to see, and I might do that in the future just to see what happens. You know, and it has been done to the horror genre as well. So, you know, well, obviously the biggest example of that was Blair Witch. The Blair Witch Project was done. They did that. There was literally no script. They just kind of were guided along and the actors kind of made everything up as they went along. So it can work in those genres as well. But if you have a lot of big science, you know, big science fiction or big visual effects and things like that, you really have to plan certain things out. But there's no reason why some of the dialogue in those scenes cannot kind of riff like this. But again, you have to keep that budget low. And, you know, I kept the budget under $25 million, like I say all the time, for This Is Meg, and kept it in a budget range that I felt very comfortable with by doing this kind of work. But I know that Mark Duplass and those kind of guys, they'll work with, you know, under $1 million budget, sometimes a little bit over $1 million budget. You know, I know Drinking Buddies, the movie with Olivia Wilde, Jake London, and Anna Kendrick by Joe Swansburg. They that movie budget was about $550,000, something like that. It was his biggest movie ever, budget wise. And that movie was completely done by this way. It's just that was his. That's Joe's process. That's how he likes to work. And I understand. Once I did it with This Is Meg, it's so fun, so freeing. And the actors get to really have fun with the characters and create the characters on the fly. And by just being able to loosen things up a little bit, it works so wonderfully. And again, this is not for everybody. But I think for a majority of you guys out there, for at least a portion of you guys listening to this, this might be a way for you to get off the ground, to get your first feature made. You know, you do very low risk. Again, $1,000. You know, if you guys can't raise $1,000 by asking your parents and friends, you're in deep trouble, my friends. So you got to at least raise $1,000, let's say. Get somebody who owns a camera or shoot it with your iPhone, for God's sakes. Do something like that. Make sure your sound is good. Make sure your visuals are decent. And go tell your story. Make a movie. There's very little risk involved there. When you start getting into the $50,000, the $100,000, the $200,000, $1 million, you guys better know what the hell you're doing, you know, before you get going. You better have a distribution plan and all that kind of stuff. But at this level, at that low budget, under $10,000, you can have some fun and experiment. So if you don't feel comfortable doing with a feature film right away, do it with a short. You know, take $50, take $100, and go make a few shorts like this. Get your feet wet and see how it works. Do a few scenes. Do a few 5-minute short films like this. Again, keep the budgets really low, $100. You know, no more, because if you start doing like $200, $300, $400, $500, well, shit, then you could go make a feature at that point. But anyway, I just hope that this podcast kind of helps you guys understand that there is another option out there for you, and there is another path to make your first feature film, that you don't have to go the traditional route of getting a screenplay, getting it developed, going through all of the rigmaroles, submitting this to actors and so on. And again, at the beginning, guys, and I know a lot of people are going to have this question, like, well, Alex, if I have a scriptman and I've never done anything, can I approach named talent? I'm going to probably say no. Unless you have a relationship with that named talent or somebody like that, it's going to be very difficult. We were lucky that Jill had very, you know, they're her friends, and they were able to reach out to her friends, and we were able to do this in this fashion because they trusted her and they trusted me. But when you're starting out, don't worry about getting actor like big name actors. If you can, great. It all helps, you know, even if it's, you know, TV actors or people that we recognize or just good, solid performers, great. But don't get caught up in that. That's another obstacle. Again, you go look at Mark Duplass, go look at Joe Swansburg, go look at Lynn Shelton. All of those movies, when they first started out, did not have names in them. They just wanted to tell a good story with their friends or people that they knew who could act and so on. So that's what I would recommend for you guys to do as well, is to go in, get a bunch of your friends or actors that you can find to go out and have some fun with. And that's a big key point, guys. Have fun. This should not be stressful. There should not be anger and hijinks and drama and all this kind of stuff. It should be fun, guys. If not, you'd go out and get real jobs. You know what I mean? I know it's hard work, and I know it's sometimes it's stressful, and I know it can be a little bit overbearing sometimes making movies and being an artist in this sense. But at the end of the day, man, you have to have fun. And if you don't have fun, that shows up on the screen. And when you guys finally see This Is Meg, I hope you can sense the fun we had. We had no drama at all ever on the set. Everything flowed so beautifully, so wonderfully, all the way through the editing to the final part, to the final cut of the movie and the final color and the mix and everything. It all just worked so beautifully, and I've never experienced an artistic endeavor like that in my entire career. And I was like, wow, because I completely loosened the shackles. I completely just said, fuck it. I'm just going to go out and do this. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about, oh, I got to do this or I got to do that, and this is the way I have to do it. I finally, after 20 odd years, decided, you know what? I'm not going to listen to what everybody else is doing and I'm going to do it my way. And for me, it's working, you know, and I did Meg at a budget that I can feel very comfortable with, that I can continue to do those kind of movies indefinitely if I have to. You know, Joe Swansburg has made like 32 feature films. You know, 1 year he made 6 feature films. You know, I'm going to put in the show notes my links to both Mark Duplass and Joe Swansburg's keynote addresses at South by Southwest, and, you know, backgrounds on both those guys, because if you want to study, you know, people, the process, these guys are definitely two guys that you should definitely look for or look at and study their processes. And again, of course, the show notes are at indiefilmhustle.com/120. But again, Joe was one of those guys that just kind of decided to keep making movies. He's like, well, if no one's going to pay attention to me, at least I'm going to be prolific. And that was such a great way of looking at it. He's like, I'm just going to keep making movies. And he'd made 1 year, he made 6 feature films. He made it with his, you know, I don't know if it wasn't VHS, but it was mini DV cameras. You know, he just went out and shot with a bunch of friends. No stars, no faces, no marquee value. He just said, hey, I'm going to go make some indie movies. And he did, and he sold them. He didn't sell them for a lot, but he sold them. And he was able to make, that year, he said he was able to make $50,000 or $60,000 by selling 6 movies. And having some other movie money come in that keynote address, he really talks a lot about the financials of how he was able to make it. And it's so wonderful to hear. It's very honest and tells you exactly what you want to hear. So definitely check that out at indiefilmhustle.com/120 to in the show notes for his keynote speech, because it's really amazing. But back to scriptments. Again, I just want to give you guys the tools to feel free to make your movies. No matter where you are in the world, I want you to be able to feel free to make these kind of movies and just go out and make them. And then from there, that grows to the next level and the next level and the next level. And one last thing before I go, guys, I want you to just please, and I've said this before in the podcast, but I'm going to continue to repeat this until people understand it. You can't expect every movie that you make to be the home run, to be that one lottery ticket win that you're looking for. When you put that kind of pressure on the movie, it won't succeed. You will fail many times, and you are setting yourself up for failure. With This Is Meg, I am putting it out into the universe. I'm putting it out into the world. And whatever happens, happens. People will love it. People will hate it. I know that for a fact, that people will love it and people will hate it. That's it. And there'll be some people in the middle and there'll be people in the extremes. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it happens with all art. So you have to prepare yourself for that. But am I expecting it to get, you know, to get into Sundance and win me the lottery ticket? No, because you know what? I didn't get into Sundance. And it wasn't the end of the world, because I was, you know, I was like, hey, if I get in, great. If I don't, let's go on. You know, so you always go for, you always aim for the fences, but understand that don't put the pressure that if it doesn't, your whole world is over and you can't make anymore. I want you not to feel that way. I want you to feel like I'm going to make 5 feature films and I'm just going to keep going no matter what. And you make them at a low enough budget that you could keep going. You could have a day job and save yourself up $1,000, find yourself somebody with a camera or shoot it with your own iPhone, and you make your movies. And that's how you do it. You just keep going. But the thing is that if you're going to go, and I'm going to use baseball as an analogy because it's a great analogy, but if you're going to go up to the plate, a lot of filmmakers will go up to the plate for the very first time and they expect to hit a home run when they've never taken a swing. That's what happens with most filmmakers. Most filmmakers have not been shooting commercials or music videos or short films or anything for a long period of time where they have gotten a lot of swings at bat. You know, I've gotten a tremendous amount of swings at bat, but I've never done one with a feature, but I've done a lot of other shooting in my career. So I feel comfortable up there at the plate. You've got to feel comfortable up there at the plate. So Robert Rodriguez, before he made Mariachi, he shot like 20 or 30 short films. He'd do it every weekend. And he didn't show those films to anybody, to no one. He was just doing them to practice because he's kept going up there and swinging away, swinging away. Sometimes he'd hit, maybe he'd made a single. Maybe he'd foul out. If you guys don't know about baseball, got to look up the rules. But anyway, but that's what he did. And that's what I plan to continue doing with my features. Because I think what you need to do is you got to focus on those singles, those doubles, possibly some triples, instead of going for the home run every time. Because if you focus on those singles, so let's say, you know, let's say you make a movie and that movie, you know, you made for $1,000 and you sell it for $4,000 you make on it. Well, you made 4 times your money. Well, hell, that's a success for me. It might not be the game-winning home run, but damn, you made money as a filmmaker. You're the top 1% of filmmakers if you're able to do that. So what do you do next? You make another movie for maybe $2,000 this time. If it was me, I'd make another movie for $1,000. So that's just me. But you make another movie for $2,000 this time. And let's say you go out there and you make another $4,000. You doubled your money. And you move on. And you make another movie for $2,000. And that other movie makes $10,000. And all of a sudden, somebody's looking at you. Some people are like, hey, this guy's making movies. This girl's making movies. How much do you need for your next movie? And you go, well, I feel comfortable now. I need about $6,000 or $7,000 to make the next movie. Or I want $10,000 for the next movie. Okay, great. Now, mind you, you're working other jobs to make a living and all this stuff, but you're making art and you're building up a business, and it takes time to do that. So I want you guys to focus on the long game. And I've said this a million times, focus on the long game. And a scriptment can do that for you. It can help you get that movie made very quickly, where you could, in theory, make a movie, 2 movies in a year once you get the ball rolling. And I hope this podcast brought some light into your darkness. No, brought some light to the subject and shows you and kind of informs you that there is another way. There is another way to go make a movie. There is another way to get your feature filmmaking career started and going off. And by the way, this can work for series too. If you want to make a little pilot and like a bunch of like, you know, webisodes, you know, web series, or, you know, you want to create a pilot to pitch to Netflix or to Hulu or to Amazon or Crackle or one of these guys, this process works wonderfully. Because if you're able to create, and this is what Mark Duplass, I'm going to go back to Mark, my man Mark, he was able to pitch Togetherness, an HBO show, and ran two seasons on HBO based on this premise. This is how he worked on that show. I don't know if he did a pilot or anything like that beforehand, but this is how he did the show. And it was wonderful because it was very low cost. And you know what studios love? Low cost, high quality. They love that. And if you can get something out to a point where you can do that, you're going to work. You're always going to work, guys. So just keep that in mind. So it can translate to a lot of things, but we're focusing on feature films right now. But that's. I hope this helps you guys. I really do. Because I think sometimes I've had to go through all this pain in my career to be able to share this information with you guys. And I hope that I can continue not going through pain. Hopefully I don't go through too much more. But you know what? At the end of the day, guys, honestly, your failures and your pain is what makes you a better person and what makes you a more informed person. It makes you who you are. So all these years of struggle and everything that I've gone through, I'm hoping that my journey can be a beacon of light for you guys, at least a beacon of information to at least share with you what I'm doing. And hopefully it can translate and help even one of you guys out there. It's worth it. I know that sounds really cliche, but it's true. Before we go, I want to let you know that my film On the Corner of Ego and Desire, which is the other film I used a scriptment for, is being released January 21st on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, as well as Indie Film Hustle TV, the exclusive platform where you can get over 6 hours of special features explaining how I was able to make a $3,000 film shooting in 4 days at the Sundance Film Festival using a scriptment. And you can check that out at egoanddesirefilm.com. If you want links to anything we talked about in this episode, please head over to filmtrepreneur.com/032. And guys, I wanted to give you a quick update on the Filmtrepreneur YouTube channel. I am now going to be focusing all of my content on the Indie Film Hustle channel on YouTube. So any video content that we've been putting up on Filmtrepreneur's YouTube channel or Bulletproof Screenwriting's YouTube channel will now be exclusively on the YouTube channel for Indie Film Hustle TV. And if you want to check that out, head over to indiefilmhustle.com/YouTube, and I will be putting up a lot of content over the next few months, at least 3 to 4 videos a day, including podcasts and other parts of the show that I'm doing. And I'm bringing back the director series, which is a breakdown of some of the greatest directors of all time. So that's all going to be on the Indie Film Hustle YouTube channel. Thank you guys again for listening. As always, the power is in your hands. Be a filmtrepreneur. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Filmtrepreneur podcast at filmtrepreneur.com.